Welcome back to Chapter 5 of Personal Protective Equipment. In this chapter, we're going to talk about respiratory protection. This will be the first of a series of chapters that will walk through respiratory protection. Just like chemical protective clothing and gloves in our last sections, the selection of respiratory protection needs particular attention to make sure that we are selecting appropriate filtration materials, that the protection we select will actually reduce the concentration in inhaled air to adequately low levels, and to be sure that we are not introducing health hazards to the wearer by requiring the use of respiratory protection. This first chapter highlights key concerns for ensuring a good respirator is selected, but additional education is needed to understand all of the requirements of a respiratory protection program. This chapter is framed so that you understand the most important information to assess whether a farm worker is adequately protected. As always, we're going to give you resources if you want more training in this area. So first, information needed to perform the selection. Respirators have to be selected based on the airborne hazard facing a worker. To select the correct respirator, we need to know each of the following three items. First, what is the hazard? What is the gas, vapor, or dust that we need to use a respirator to protect a worker? The second question is, what is the concentration of that hazard in the environment? And third, what is the safe level of that contaminant, called an occupational exposure limit or OEL, that we need to get concentrations down to so that that worker can be safely exposed? We will focus this chapter on the process of selecting a respirator in general, and then we'll give you a few examples to illustrate the process. The next chapter, we'll discuss farm-relevant exposures that might necessitate a respirator. And then one final respirator chapter, we'll discuss systems that need to be in place if workers are required to wear a respirator at work. And we're going to call that a respiratory protection program. First, let's talk about the main respirator categories. There are two main categories of respiratory protection: air purifying and supplied air. So first, air purifying. This simply means that we have workers breathing through filters or chemical absorbing cartridges, which are held in place by a respirator. This respirator fits on the face to prevent air from getting into the wearer's lungs that does not pass through that filter or that cartridge. This combination ensures that only air that is passed through the cartridge, which removes the hazardous chemical or particles out of the air, that cartridge removes those hazards before it gets into the worker's lungs. Air purifying respirators include face filtering respirators, commonly called N95s, and sometimes erroneously called masks by the untrained health professional, including farmers. So if somebody's calling something a mask and it's an N95, those are respirators. But note that things that are those surgical masks and the fabric masks that we use during the pandemic, those are not to be used in any condition to control exposures to hazardous chemicals. Their use is to be discouraged for contaminant control. Remember that these are used to control aerosols coming out of the mouth of wearers, not anything going into the mouth or nose of the wearer, even though they do provide a limited amount of protection for those items. So that's an air purifying respirator. Air gets filtered, and then we breathe that filtered air. The supplied air respirator means that we must supply certified clean air into the respirator facepiece of a worker. You have seen firefighters wear an SCBA, a self-contained breathing apparatus. This is an example of a supplied air respirator. These have heavy air canisters carried on the back and delivered to the respirator facepiece. The air must meet quality guidelines. They must be at least grade D breathing air to make sure that it's safe to breathe. Note that these units are expensive, heavy, difficult to maintain, so farmers likely will not have access to these supplied air respirators. But I did want to bring it up because it's important to know that some operations on the farm may need the use of an SCBA, so pre-planning with emergency responders is important to prevent deaths. Go back and listen to the confined space unit if you want more information on this, but those respirators going into confined spaces to do a rescue, those are often those supplied air respirators. So we have air purifying and supplied air respirators. There are three critical factors that will make us have to use that air supplied respirator over the air purifying one. it's much easier to use the air purifying or the filtering respirators, but we can't use those. We have to use supplied air if any of the following are true. If we don't know what the hazardous compound in the air is, and or if we don't know what their concentration is, we have to assume it's dangerous and we have to use an air supplied respirator. If the oxygen content is low, and by low, I mean less than 19.5%, we have to use a supplied air respirator because our air purifying respirators do not provide oxygen. And then the third one is if the warning properties of a chemical are so poor at the concentrations that are hazardous that we cannot tell when the air purifying respirator is not working, we have to use a supplied air respirator. So that means if it's hazardous at a concentration that I can't smell it, then I can't sense that it has broken through my respirator cartridge, and I can't tell that inside my mask is a dangerous concentration. Manufacturers will say this has poor warning properties. Don't use an air purifying respirator. So in these three conditions, if we don't know what it is, we don't know the concentration, or if we don't have sufficient oxygen, or if we have poor warning properties, we have to use a supplied air respirator. So how do we select a respirator? If you need a refresher on concentration and exposure information, please revisit two earlier units that we have, both in air quality and gas exposures unit, as well as the confined spaces unit. I'm going to pretend that you remember everything we talked about there. So if you get a little confused, go back and listen to those that give some definitions as well. To determine the type of respirator needed, we first need to know what the exposure is and whether it is a hazard to be breathed. So this means we need to know both what is the chemical and what is its concentration. Then we need to find out what the safe level of the contaminant is. And for all of these, we're going to look at the safety data sheet for some guidance. To select the respirator type, we need to answer each of the following in this order. Again, we'll walk you through case studies in a moment to reinforce this process. First question, is there sufficient oxygen in the environment? To use an air purifying respirator, there must be sufficient oxygen to breathe. If there is not, or we don't know, then we have to use a supplied air respirator, which again, firefighters may have, but farmers do not. Then you have to know your exposure level. If we don't know the airborne concentration, then again, we cannot use an air purifying respirator, so we need to use supplied air. If we have direct reading information, say we have little monitors, or if there's guidance from literature, then we can estimate concentrations. Also for pesticides, the label will guide you into what to select. They will give you some information on exposures. Then you have to identify the safe level that we want to protect workers to. This again is what we're going to call an occupational exposure limit, an OEL. This is the maximum concentration you want the worker to inhale and be safe. Anything above that concentration is putting that person at risk of having a bad health outcome. From that information, we're going to calculate the ratio of what is the exposure concentration, how much contaminant is in the air, and we're going to divide that by what your occupational exposure limit is. What is that maximum safe concentration? This ratio determines the minimum assigned protection factor that your respirator needs to have. Each style of respirator that you can purchase and wear has an assigned protection factor. It may be called an APF. They are as follows: a half mask and face filtering respirator have an APR of 10. A powered air purifying respirator, sometimes called a PAPR, has an APR of 25. So higher number, that means higher protection. A full face air purifying respirator has an even higher assigned protection factor of 50. And once we get into the realm of supplied air respirators, we start out at a protection factor of 1,000, and it goes up depending on how you operate that respirator. You have to calculate what is your concentration ratio, how much is in the air divided by the maximum amount you want in the air. So then you select a respirator that has at least as high as what you calculated. You can always select a respirator with a higher APR for the task, but you cannot go lower. So we'll walk you through what that means in a sec. Once you have selected the face style, You need to understand whether there is a suitable chemical cartridge for the chemical you need to protect the worker from. What is on the outside of these cartridges has been developed to absorb or trap different kinds of chemical compounds. These cartridges are color-coded to help organize awareness of what people are wearing in the field. For instance, if you need a dust cartridge, you need to reduce dust concentration, those cartridges will be magenta or purple, bright kind of purpley pink in color. Somebody that is putting on an ammonia cartridge, that will have a band that's a green color. There's also an organic vapor cartridge that's a black label, and that's often used for pesticides. And then there's also an acid gases cartridge, which has a white label. But there's a yellow label that means it's a combination of both organic vapor and acid gases. So there's a color system that maps back to what each of these cartridges have been tested for. Now, remember, some compounds do not have sufficient warning properties to allow the use of air purifying respirator cartridges. For example, hydrogen sulfide has poor warning properties. You can smell it when it's a really low concentration, but when it's in that dangerous range where it can paralyze your breathing, you can't smell it anymore. And that means if you are wearing a respirator, you cannot detect if it's on the inside of the respirator facepiece, meaning that there is no suitable hydrogen sulfide respirator to use for air purifying. So you have to use a supplied air respirator if hydrogen sulfide concentrations are of concern. Now, the respirator manufacturer will guide you through matching a cartridge with the hazard of interest, and it will also map that to the respirator facepiece that you've selected. So each cartridge matches to a specific fitting on a respirator cartridge, and then you'll get some information as to how good that is with the contaminant that you are interested in protecting against. All of that being said, let's walk through some examples. Grain unloading. Let's take an example of unloading grain. If you see a dust concentration of, say, 10 milligrams per meter cubed, for reference, visibility is reduced. You know, when it's really dusty and you can't see very far, when your visibility is reduced so that you can't see more than a few feet away, we know that the dust concentration is above 5 milligrams per meter cubed. So grain unloading right next to what's going on, maybe about 10 milligrams per meter cubed. If you look up OSHA rules and you see that they recommend keeping exposures below 3 milligrams per meter cubed. So we have an OEL of 3 milligrams per meter cubed. We know that our exposure is 10. So we calculate the APR minimum by taking our 10, what we're exposed to, dividing it by 3. And our APR, that's the minimum APR, is calculated at 10 divided by 3 or 3.3. This is the least protective that we can go. And if we look at the list of APRs, we know that 10 is afforded to us with a half mask or a face filtering respirator, that N95. Since really we're just looking at an organic dust and whatever may be on that organic dust, we know that we don't have a chemical or gaseous or vapor concentration. So we can select an N95 FFR because remember the APR of 10 is more than the 3.3 that we needed. Some notes, you may have questions about how to measure dust and why we're concerned about this during grain handling. First, there are some direct reading monitors to help you measure these concentrations, but there are many studies that confirm that this task may cause high exposures. Second, in addition to dust, remember that there may be bioaerosols generated on this dust from mold and fungus that may have been on the grain, and we do know that those cause health effects, including toxic organic dust syndrome. So the good news is that the respirator with dust filtration, either that elastomeric respirator with that magenta filter or that N95 face filtering respirator is sufficient to remove dust and these bioaerosols during these tasks. We have just completed the PPE assessment for grain unloading. Let's talk about poultry barn cleanout as another task. If you have workers cleaning bedding out of a poultry barn, we know that ammonia may be an issue along with dust. Say that you have measurements and there are direct reading monitors available for ammonia and concentrations have been measured up to about 60 parts per million while you're doing tasks in that barn. You've looked on the safety data sheet and you find that there's a recommendation to keep levels below 35 parts per million. And this is NIOSH's short-term recommended exposure limit. So this 35 parts per million has been designated to protect workers against irritation, both of the eyes and the lung. We have our exposure number is 60 parts per million. Our OEL is 35 parts per million. We calculate the minimum APR for our respirator is that 60, our exposure, divided by 35, our OEL, and that ratio is 1.7. Again, it looks like the half mask is going to be sufficient. Note that we don't have an FFR approved for anything other than dust. So if we need to control ammonia, we cannot use that face filtering respirator, that N95. We do have to use a half mask respirator at a minimum. Now, here's the issue with ammonia. When we have concentrations above 35 parts per million and likely above 25 parts per million for some people, we know that it will cause eye irritation. We can put somebody in a respirator, a half mask respirator, but we also need to put workers into unvented goggles to protect their eyes. And this will also prevent injuries if the concentrations become too high to keep your eyes open. You're going to walk into something, you may become injured, et cetera. The issue with ammonia is instead of putting somebody in a half mask respirator and goggles, it's very hard to get a good steel goggle when we have a respirator on, is basically to just increase the respiratory protection to a full face respirator, put an ammonia cartridge on it, and now we have protected both their eyes and their lungs. Would probably do the best job, most efficient job of putting somebody in this environment into a full face respirator with an ammonia cartridge. Remember, that's green, and also with a dust layer protection outside of it as well. So we can either use a dual cartridge respirator with ammonia and dust, or put a filter that fits on top of that respirator cartridge, and then we have protected their eyes and lungs. We've given two examples of how to walk through exposure information, exposure limit information, and select an appropriate respirator style, and then go and select the filtration media. As a wrap up, it is important to know that in the United States, only NIOSH certified respirators can be used to protect workers from airborne hazards. This chapter has presented information needed to select the style of respirator based on the hazards that need to be controlled. The next chapter, we will walk you through common respirators needed on the farm. But before going to the next chapter, we're going to give you another discussion question for you to think about after listening to this chapter. And here it is. We've talked about different levels of respiratory protection. You have probably worn, at the very least, an N95. Reflect on how comfortable you were wearing this respiratory protection. How do you think it affected your ability to communicate? What barriers do you think workers would have if required to wear higher level respiratory protection options, say an elastomeric respirator or a full face respirator? Does this fit in with the concerns that we mentioned earlier at the beginning of this unit on the hierarchy of controls? Think about why we now recommend personal protective equipment as the last line of defense, given the communication barriers and other perceived barriers that workers may exhibit while wearing a respirator.